Well, they meet in August of 1786 at a place called the Hollow Bled, which is a large grain market in Paris. Jefferson is dragged there by John Trumbull, who tells him, I want to introduce you to some people you're going to find very interesting. And Jefferson's reluctant to go, but once he meets her, he immediately is smitten with her. They fall in love, he cancels all his engagements for the rest of the day, and they all go off to dinner. In the following weeks, they'll troop around together around Paris. Initially, for appearance's sake, with her husband, Richard Causeway, Trumbull, and an elderly gentleman by the name of Pierre-François Hughes, who is enamored of Causeway. Though, before long, they dispense with the entourage, and just the two of them explore the beauties and joys of Paris. It's on one of these expeditions in a park on September 18th that Jefferson breaks his wrist, trying to leap over a fence to impress Maria Causeway. Well, Jefferson is, as I've mentioned, a graceful man, but an athlete he isn't. The wrist is broken and never heals successfully. It's set incorrectly, and it gives him pain for the rest of his life. Shortly thereafter, Richard Causeway decides he's going to return to England and bring his wife with him. In October, Jefferson escorts them part of the way back and leaves them, in his words, more dead than alive. And it's at that point that he writes the remarkable Head and Heart letter, which we'll look at in a few minutes. But first I want to complete the discussion of the rest of the relationship. Now, many historians had thought for a long time that the affair ends there. But some years ago, Von Brody established that, in fact, Maria Causeway returned to Paris again the following summer without her husband. And there's a clear implication there that she was threatening to break from her husband and end her marriage. Now, initially, she and Jefferson start picking up the relationship right where it left off, spending lots of time together. But something curious happens. As time passes, more and more she begins inviting other visitors over. There seems to be a sense that she's afraid to be alone with Jefferson, which is exactly what he wants. One senses that Jefferson is moving towards consummation, towards the fulfillment of the relationship, both emotionally and sexually, and that Maria Causeway is afraid. This is certainly what Brody has argued, given the fact that they have, in fact, a very painful and frustrating separation on December 6th. They had planned to spend the night together, and she would leave the following morning. But something goes awry. She leaves early that evening without him and leaves him the following note. I cannot breakfast with you tomorrow. To bid you adieu once is sufficiently painful, for I leave you with very melancholy ideas. You have given, my dear sir, all your commissions to Mr. Trumbull, and I have the reflection that I cannot be useful to you, who have rendered me so many civilities. And that really marks the end of their romance. And it's a very suggestive little passage. When she mentions the commissions to Mr. Trumbull, is that just his compliments? Or is she resentful at the fact that he hires Trumbull to do paintings for him, but doesn't hire Causeway herself? Is Causeway demanding that he treat her seriously as an artist, when in fact all he's interested in is companionship? There's also this interesting phrase at the end. I have the reflection that I cannot be useful to you. Was she unable to consummate their love? Well, we'll never know for certain, but there are some suggestive elements to this relationship. She will later write him from London, come to London, for there we can do it better. Well, whatever it is that they couldn't do, it was certainly the last chance Maria Causeway would have with Jefferson. Despite the end of the romance, however, it leaves us a marvelous legacy, the famous My Head and My Heart letter, which expresses the conflict in Jefferson between his deeply emotional sentimentalism, Jefferson the lover, and his stoic Epicurean intellect, Jefferson the thinker. He writes to Maria Causeway on October 12th, and he speaks from the head. Friendship is but another name for an alliance with the follies and misfortunes of others. Our own share of miseries is sufficient. Why enter, then, as volunteer, into those of another? But the heart answers back, and it's the heart that has the final say in this dialogue. Let this sublimated philosopher grasp visionary happiness while pursuing phantoms dressed in the garb of truth. Their supreme wisdom is supreme folly, and they mistake for happiness the mere absence of pain. Had they ever felt the solid pleasures of one generous spasm of the heart, very erotic image, the spasm of the heart, they would exchange for it all the frigid speculations of their lives, which you have been vaunting in such elevated terms. There's a very sort of erotic imagery here, warm spasms overcoming frigidity. Believe me then, my friend, that this is as miserable a mathematic arithmetic which could estimate friendship at nothing or less than nothing.